Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to yet another week of Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I am your host, Charisse Alexander, here on the Inspire Choices Network. Today, I am joined by Scarlett Seebach. Did I say your last name right?
It's close enough. I'm married into it. I don't care.
I'm joined here today by Scarlett. And today Scarlett is going to be sharing practical tips for energy hygiene. Energy hygiene is often spoken about in abstract or mystical terms, but in this episode, we bring it back to the practical, embodied, and actionable. In practical tips for hygiene, Scarlett, Reiki Master, Certified Human Design Reader, and Crystal Healer, shares how to care for your energetic field in a way that actually supports your real life. This conversation bridges intuitive wisdom with grounded strategy, offering listeners tangible tools to protect, reset, and strengthen your energy without bypassing responsibility or agency. We explore today what energy hygiene truly means in the day-to-day, how emotional residue does build up, and how other people's energy can unconsciously influence our decisions, and why consistent energetic maintenance is just as important as physical or mental self-care. Scarlett will break down how practices like Reiki, human design awareness, and intentional energetic boundaries can help you move through the world with more clarity, stability, and self-trust. Today's episode is for those who sense that something bigger could be unfolding, but you don't want to be told who or what to believe. It's for people who want tools, not dependency, practices, not prescriptions, and a deeper connection to your own inner authority. If you are ready to take responsibility for your energy and learn how to work with it consciously, this conversation offers a very grounded entry point into lasting energetic hygiene and self-leadership. So, Scarlett, welcome to today. I am so excited to have you here. I love all things energy work and energy talk. Welcome. I'd love to turn it over to you so you can tell us a little bit more about how you got started in energy work and where you are now.
Thank you so much, Charisse. It's amazing to be here. And can I steal that intro? Because nobody has ever articulated me as well as you just did.
No problem.
That's awesome. So, okay, I got started with energy work, actually with pain. In my whole life up until relatively recently, I was in pain. I didn't really know that I was in so much pain until I hit my 20s, though. Started a medication and suddenly things got exponentially worse. And I went the allopathic route first, you know, as we do. We go and we talk to our doctor, and our doctor, if it's anything like my doctor, said that I needed to lose weight or that it was all in my head, that I clearly had anxiety, I don't know, like six other things. I wasn't paying attention after a while. And I did finally find one doctor who sat and listened to me. And then she sent me to about three other specialists who did not help. And finally, at the end of that road, she went and sent me to some sort of blood specialist. And they looked at me and said, "There's nothing we can do for you." Hmm. And I know what I was supposed to be feeling. I know that was supposed to be like this really hopeless moment for me. And, you know, you hit the ground and you sob and blah, blah, blah. But that is not what happened at all. I felt such immense relief. And it was just like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you so much. I don't have to do this anymore. Nobody is going to touch me ever again that I don't want to touch me. And like, it was just the biggest relief. Mm-hmm. And so I could finally go on the journey that I really wanted to go on and really figure out how to heal myself. Mm-hmm. And so I started seeing a massage therapist, which did good. Like, don't get me wrong. I love her. I still see her. She's amazing. She's also a Reiki therapist, though she wasn't at the time. And I started seeing an acupuncturist and reading voraciously, just anything that I could find about alternative healing, anything. And I came across this word that I had never heard before that was supposed to be very complementary to acupuncture called Reiki. And all I could think was, what's that? I need to know everything about that because acupuncture hurts and I don't want to do that. So I asked my massage therapist about it and she didn't know anything either. So I had to do a Google deep dive, and I do not live in a place where Reiki is super common, or at least I didn't at the time. And so I did eventually find someone and started seeing her like once a week for a couple of years. And I think maybe 6 months in or so, she said, you know, you're supposed to be doing this too, right? And so
you're like, huh? What?
I am, but I just found out about this. Yeah. So I really started getting to know myself a lot better, and the pain receded so much. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a little older now, and so there's different kinds of pain you have to deal with age, but that constant muscular tendon bone deep pain that I had been feeling, that is gone. And I attribute that largely to Reiki. And I got my mastership, I don't know, year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And it's been amazing ever since. Like I'm doing so much better and I've learned so much. So
that's awesome. And that's, you're right. That's generally speaking how the journey to this work in energy healing and Reiki begins. When did I do my Reiki? During COVID. And it was, and it was, I think it was my sister who was like, oh, you know, I'm doing this thing called Reiki. And I'd also never heard of it. And, I did it and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is like just the coolest thing ever. So, congratulations to you on your Reiki certification. So let's talk a little bit about energy hygiene. What is energy hygiene? What does that really mean today?
You know, I think energy hygiene can mean a lot of different things. But to me, energy hygiene has two parts. The first part is actually protection, so that you don't get dirty in the first place. You know, we put on our hazmat suit, as you would say. Well, maybe not you, but as one would say. and then there's the other half where you take the shower. And it's like, you've got the hazmat suit for protection and you've got the shower to take care of the stuff that you missed. So energy hygiene for me, it's combining both of these two things to make sure that your fields and your, quite frankly, I mean, your bones, your skin, your cells, like your very essence is taken care of. Of course, your chakras, that all of this is clean. So that you can stay clean. And, you know, nobody's ever perfect where this is concerned. I am certainly not perfect where this is concerned. You know, we all have our bad days. That's why I love crystals. It's like they really help with that. But for me, that's what it really is. It's protecting yourself from other people's energy, but it's also moving through and removing your own energy that doesn't serve you anymore.
Right. Yeah. So. And you know, the thing that it's like when you were recounting your journey to actually finding Reiki and going to doctor after doctor, and then finally being empowered really to take care of your own health. I guess that journey then being that it took you to this place where you, you know, took Reiki into your life and so on and so forth. How do we correlate the two? And where I'm going with this is the audience might not actually know what energy hygiene is. It's a word that is used very freely. And I don't know that people fully understand what energy hygiene is. So how does that relate to physical well-being in a way that somebody can say, it's like brushing my teeth. So we obviously brush our teeth every day because we don't want them to be nasty. But why is energy hygiene important as it relates to your mental health, your physical health, your emotional health, and your spiritual health?
Oh my goodness. You know, energy hygiene has just changed my life in so many different ways. And that's such a great question because, you know, I think we all are. Anybody who's listening to this is going to be a little bit of an empath, a little bit psychic, a little bit more sensitive than your average listener. Like, it's called sacred leadership for a reason. Mm-hmm. So we all have this little bit of extra feeling that maybe not the average person has. And that comes with this greater sensitivity. And I know that if I had known about this when I was in school and when I was working in corporate life, it would have made such a giant difference for me and for my energy levels because I am one of those sensitive people. And when I went to school, I could feel everybody's anxiety around me. And I mean, I don't know how much you remember about high school, but for me, it was not fun because everybody was going through something. I was going through stuff. Like, it's high school. We're going through stuff. And it's the same thing when you go into a corporate environment where nobody's really taking care of their energetic hygiene. You're going through stuff, you're projecting it onto other people, and those people are taking it on because they don't know how to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And when you take that on, when you take that into yourself and you don't know how to remove it, then it lives in you. You know, it lives in your cells, it lives in your bones, it lives in your field, it lives everywhere inside of you because you have not removed it. Even though it's not yours to carry, you still have to carry it. It's like everybody's walking around with this giant backpack full of rocks. Mm-hmm. And none of those rocks belong to them. Well, maybe some, but for the most part, none of those rocks belong to them. And so you're just stuck holding on to this backpack. And energy hygiene is very much about getting to put that backpack down and getting to walk freely and getting to move through life more freely with less pain, with less exhaustion, and just with more life. Mm-hmm. So
I love how passionate you are about this and the analogy that you gave when you were talking about like being in high school. And just being surrounded by all this energy, it reminds me of one of my kids went to one of the largest schools in Western Canada. And I don't think he realized, like, this was really early during my own journey, my own spiritual journey. And I mean, he was having sleep paralysis every night. He was all the things, right? And I had a friend come over and she said he's really energetically sensitive. So I started saying to him, I said, honey, before you walk out the door, bubble wrap yourself. Like, just envision yourself literally in energetic bubble wrap so other people's stuff doesn't stick to you. And, you know, he started doing that. And then, of course, I'm buying him Tiger's Eye and I'm buying him this crystal and that crystal.
Of course.
So it did certainly help. But I think the point that I'm trying to examine or to highlight here is that this can start really early. Just imagine if we are able to, like, help educate even the kids and at a really young age about, because maybe you're taking on emotions that don't belong to you. Maybe somebody is, and you know, energy is like, if you think about it, for those who are new to this discussion around energy, it's as simple as someone having a bad thought about you. They might not be directing it at you, but they simply think about you and they have a bad idea about you. And now they're literally directing bad energy at you. Is it not that simple?
Oh, it absolutely is. In fact, it's perhaps even more simple than that. It's just simply someone having a bad thought, and you don't necessarily even have to be the object. You just have to be around. Because they project it outward, you know, people who don't know anything about what they're doing, it just goes everywhere like a radio signal. So if they have, like, most people are broadcasting all of that out for anyone to see, hear, or feel.
Yeah. Which is a really good point because if you think about it, even in the simplicity of that, it's as simple as walking into a room and feeling really vibrant, enthusiastic, joyful, happy energy, or walking into a room and feeling the exact opposite. So that is exactly how simple it is, right? Nobody is necessarily thinking about you, but if everyone's in a bad mood, you're feeling that and taking it on. Yeah. So do you think that everyone is energetically sensitive, or do you think that some people just notice it more?
I don't actually think that everyone is energetically sensitive. Overall, I am married to an intensely spiritual man. He is a literal alchemist. Like he had a he was a I don't remember what they're called, but like literal. And he is one of the least energetically sensitive people I've ever met. That does not make him any less spiritual, though. It just makes him different from me. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, his north node's in Aries and mine's in Pisces. So it's just a very different vibe. So I do think that there are people who are more sensitive to energy. However, I think we're all affected by it fairly equally. It's like,
Okay.
it's just
Thank you for the
some people are,
distinction. Yeah.
yeah, it's
Being
just some
affected by it.
people, yes. So some are more aware than others, but and that would make you more sensitive, but the effect is about the same.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we are going to take our first break where I am joined by Scarlett Seebach. And when we get back, we will continue talking about how energy is absorbed. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse, where I am joined today by Scarlett, and we are talking about practical tips for energy hygiene. In the first segment, Scarlett was recounting her journey through pain and physical unwellness, to which eventually brought her to Reiki. And we have just finished talking about the importance of energy hygiene, as much as brushing your teeth, taking a shower, combing your hair, all these things are on a daily basis. Energy hygiene is equally as important, if not more. So, Scarlett, you were just telling us about how people unknowingly pick up other people's, well, I guess, positive and negative energy as they move throughout their days. Do you feel like there is a, what are some of the ways, I guess, maybe that people can begin to notice when they are picking up? Like, what would be the cues that I would know that I'm actually picking up someone else's energy? Or is this my own energy that I'm dealing with? What would they be looking for?
So there's a few different cues that you can look for. Tiredness for no real apparent reason is definitely a fairly common issue. And, you know, I think we're all tired to a certain extent, but there's a different kind of like almost forced upon you tiredness that comes from like seemingly nowhere that is just surprising. That's definitely an indicator that, you know, you just took on something that didn't belong to you. Also, weird and random emotions that seemingly also come out of absolutely nowhere. And they don't, like, when you interrogate them, and it's like, does this really belong to me? And it just doesn't really feel like the answer is yes. That's also a really good indication that you took on somebody else's emotion. Fear is also another big one. So when you find yourself unreasonably afraid of something for the first time, and it's not the first time you've encountered it, but you are suddenly really afraid of this and there's no catalytic event for you being afraid of it, that's a really good indication that that fear does not actually belong to you. And, you know, you've taken that fear on from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So as much as we can take on, you know, other people's energy, I imagine that we can also leak our own energy. Is that the case?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
You absolutely can.
How do we guard against that?
So I really like to do a protective bubble, and you can kind of create almost like an echo chamber inside your little bubble so that you're not leaking your energy outward, that it just bounces off of that bubble and comes right back to you.
Okay.
So for me, energy work always, or energy cleansing, it always starts with protection. So my favorite form of protection is a visualization technique that I use. And it's somewhat unconventional, but I really like to envision this red light that's coming from the ground, the earth itself, that kind of envelops me from, you know, bottom to top there. And then it kind of reaches a center point roughly at the soul star chakra. And then that light kind of goes up into the galaxy, more or less, you know, that center point in the galaxy. And then this center point in the galaxy will feed this protective bubble that I have created for myself. So I'm connected to both the earth and the heavens at the same time. Yeah. And they're protecting me. So I don't need to source that protection internally. I can source it externally. So it doesn't take energy away from me to do it.
Right. So just to recap, we start with protection, and then you create like an echo chamber, which I'd actually never thought of, so that if it is leaking, it just reverberates right back to you. Okay, that makes sense. And are there other things that people can do to consider, like, you know, preventing leakage and that sort of thing with energy? Or is that the most effective that you have found?
That's my favorite, but there are lots of other things that you can do. The sky's really the limit. I like to start with something that is grounding. And, you know, there's a million different ways that you can ground yourself. Most people's favorites is pretending they're a tree. And so their roots kind of go down into the ground as far down as you can get. And then the branches kind of go out up to the sky. So again, connected to both the heavens and the earth at the same time. We want to connect to both whenever possible. So that's a good foundation, whatever grounding technique you want to use. That actually also helps you not leak your own energy if you ground.
Yeah.
So however you want to choose to ground is great. I ground using light. So I do a somewhat modified version of grounding that I learned from somebody else, but that same center of the galaxy, that laser beam that we're working with, that white light, that I will bring down from the center of the galaxy, hit the soul star all the way down to the heart chakra, but then stop there. Then you go down to the center of the earth. You bring that up to the root chakra, or the earth star chakra first, then up to the root chakra, up to the heart, and stop there. And then when those two meet, they kind of swirl around together in the heart chakra and they make this golden light. And then that golden light permeates up to the center of the galaxy and down to the center of the Earth. Mm-hmm. So that you've basically just created this one energy that you're the conduit for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my favorite way to ground. But when you're doing that, you can also create this nice little golden bubble from your heart chakra that comes out and permeates all around you. So that, you know, you're sourcing your own protection, you're making your own echo chamber, and you can't, like, nothing can get in or out.
Right. So. And do you use crystal work in this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And
absolutely.
For you, which are your favorite crystals to use?
So I am a Leo, so I am partial to black obsidian.
Mm.
But I also have black tourmaline, use black tourmaline. I actually have two anklets that I tend to wear anytime I go out in public that have black obsidian, black tourmaline, golden sheen obsidian, and a little bit of larvacite to help with calming and grounding and that kind of thing so that it's not too intense because that can be a lot to put on your ankles just like raw.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sorry, no, go ahead, finish.
I forgot where I was going with that. But yeah, so larvacite kind of helps tone things down a little bit, keeps you a little bit grounded, a little bit soothed, all of that jazz. So I'll wear those anytime I go out in public. And I have a few other pieces that I keep around the house and that kind of thing. And I actually have a grid that I made on my property so that I don't have to worry too much about protection in general while I'm in my house.
Okay. There's many crystals that we can use in this type of work, but thank you for sharing which ones that you currently work with or work with in those particular practices. So when we talk about energy hygiene, you did say that for you, it's like a two-part process. There's the protection piece, and then there's the actual, we'll say, cleansing piece. What are your thoughts and how, if at all, do people use shielding or armoring in that energy hygiene practice, if at all?
Well, yeah, that can absolutely work. The thing is, no protection practice is foolproof. And that is why we have the other half. It's, you know, I can bubble up and I can do all the things, but like there are, have been battlefields ridden with lots and lots of bodies that had plenty of armor on and, you know, it happens. And so no matter what you do, stuff's still going to get in. It's just life. You know, you're going to take your eye off the ball. It will happen. And that is okay. That's why we have cleansing. So the armor and the protection is there to protect you. Yes, but it's a lot like putting your seatbelt on when you're getting in the car. You know, if you crash, there's probably still going to be some bruising and you're going to need to get a new car or get that one fixed, depending on how lucky you are. But so that is the other half is the cleansing. So.
For sure. And, you know, I understand what you're saying. And I think the reason behind the question is that it reminds me of a conversation I was recently having. And I've been intentionally on this road, we'll say 10 years roughly. I was having a conversation with someone and I'm very vocal about all the things you just talked about, right? Grounding, protection, cleansing, all the things. And the person who I was talking to, I said they were complaining about their back hurting. And someone else said, oh, do you want Charisse to do some Reiki on you? And the person was, no, I don't want you messing around in my energy. And I was like, oh,
ouch.
Whatever do you mean? And he went on then to explain, and I understood where he was coming from. But what I sensed from the conversation is he was scared. There was this fear factor that was associated with it because, and he wasn't wrong. I understood what he was saying. He's like, you know, you do energy work and, you know, you're dabbling in a field that It's the unseen. You can feel it, but it's unseen. And I don't know what you're carrying. And I said, well, that's fair and that's reasonable, but I'm really diligent with my cleansing practices and my protective practices. So I was asking the question to help dissolve some of the fear that could be associated with it. And like you said, it's no different than getting in your car and putting on a seatbelt, but that doesn't mean that I don't get in my car. So exactly. For folks who, and I think the fear piece comes from the fact that you can't see it. And it's been, I'm going to use the word, it's been demonized in a lot of ways. So I'm trying to make it accessible for the folks who might just be getting here, who might be interested in it, but they're scared because of the unseen.
Absolutely. And you're right, like there's several sects of Christianity for sure, but I'm positive other monotheistic religions who are remarkably against Reiki in general and any energy work. So that absolutely is an issue. And I think everybody's kind of on their own personal journey. Yeah. And it may be a somewhat controversial take, but I'm not sure Reiki is actually for everybody. Mm-hmm. I think there's some people here who, like, that's not their journey. And I guess that needs to be okay, too.
For sure. Absolutely. And I can absolutely honor that everybody's got their journey. And I think at the end of the day, I think we're all going to get to the same place, whatever that is. And that ultimately is, I suppose, the end of the journey in the physical life. And how you get there is ultimately entirely up to you. We are going to take our second break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about boundaries and what healthy energetic boundaries look like. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am joined by Scarlett C. Is it C. Batch?
It's actually C. Ba, like Ba Ba Black.
Oh, so it's silent.
It C-ba. Is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you could have told me that. I could do that. Scarlett C. Ba. Is that
it
better?
It doesn't really matter.
Where we are talking about practical tips for energy hygiene. In the first and second segments, we talked a little bit about what energy hygiene is, what Reiki is, about how we can, the importance of protecting ourselves, and how we can prevent or minimize energy leakage on a daily basis. Right before the break, I was going to ask Scarlett about what does a healthy energetic boundary look like? And what does that even mean? What does that look like?
You know, I think that probably varies from person to person. I don't necessarily think that a healthy energetic boundary is a universal concept. I think everybody's capacity is going to be different. So what does it look like to you? But also, there are some universals, and that does look a little bit like not taking on more energy than you can actually handle, not doing more for people than you can actually do. And really understanding your own capacity and not trying to exceed that to the point where you end up burned out and resenting the person you gave all that energy to or took on all that energy for. So that kind of thing.
Okay. And how would somebody know? And the questions I'm actually asking you are that I'm thinking about the things that you didn't know until somebody told you. So it's like you just used a word. You said energetic burnout. And I'm not talking about, because I don't think we're talking about this in the sense of, you know, when people say they're burnt out at work. Okay, that's one type of burnout. There is an energetic, when you say energetic burnout, what does that look like? How would somebody know that they were overdoing it in terms of, you know, the output of energy?
So in human design, I am something called a non-sacral being. I don't know if you're super familiar, but in human design, I'm what's known as a manifestor, which is a non-sacral being. Most people have a defined sacral center, so they are sacral beings. And I think that's actually a really important distinction when we're having the conversation about energetic burnout, because it's going to look really different for a non-sacral being than it looks for a sacral being.
Okay.
For a non-sacral being like me, energetic burnout tends to look like I can't get out of bed. Or all of a sudden I was on a jog, which I do sometimes do. And then I just randomly felt like hitting the ground. It's like, it's all gone for some reason, and it's randomness. But for a sacral being, it's a slower decline. It tends to look like, man, I just really didn't sleep well last night. I don't know what happened, but I'm really tired today. That's super strange. And that's like your first day. And so it hits you slower. And then that second day, it's like, man, I slept all night, but I'm still exhausted. What happened? And then you hit another night, and then you can't get out of bed. And you're like, man, I think I just need to go sit on the couch and watch TV all day. And it's like, it's a slower decline than a non-sacral being would experience, because a non-sacral being, we just go until we drop. But sacrals have a little bit more control than that. And so it is this, for most people, it's this very slow decline into exhaustion that just kind of comes out of nowhere, and you slowly lose, I don't want to say the will to live, but like a little bit. It's perhaps not quite that dramatic.
Passion for life. Passion for
life,
maybe.
There you go. Yes. You slowly lose that luster that you would otherwise have.
That makes sense.
And that's kind of how you know you're taking on more and giving away more than you're really capable of doing.
Okay. Now, human design, let's talk a little bit about that for a second. How does that weave into all of this?
Okay. So as a manifestor, I admit I'm a little biased about how all this works. So in human design, for the most part, energy exchange works the same for most people. You know, some people are taking on more energy, some people are giving away more energy. The sacral center is incredibly important. Most people have a defined sacral center, so they're kind of sharing, very, very liberally sharing that sacral energy with those of us who do not have a defined sacral center, and it's what keeps us going. But you do have that subsect of the population who is a manifestor, like me, and our energy works very differently. We definitely still have holes in, you know, our ability to take on and give away energy. We are spongy, just like you guys are. I am making an assumption. I'm sorry. I don't actually know what your type is. But
I'm gonna go find out.
okay. You feel sacrally to me. Like I'm feeling a lot of energy from you, which would indicate to me sacral center. But
Does
in
that mean you're
any
taking it from me? Oh, I guess I'm giving it to, I'm directing it at you.
Yeah, no, you're giving. It's you sacral galleys, like it's always coming off of you guys in way, well, not quite in ways. It's fairly consistent. So, and I have a wide open sacral center, so it's like I'm just sponging that in and really appreciating
You're
the
welcome.
energy. Yes, thank you. I did actually need an energy boost, so very much appreciated. But manifestors have what's called a closed and repelling aura. It's very dramatic, but it's kind of there to help us pr help protect us from other people, and it does kind of close us off from other people. So part of energetic cleansing and taking care of your energy body is this thing called cord cutting. I don't, okay, cool. And so for anyone who hasn't heard of it, you know, you're kind of a very simplistic way of doing it is just like taking your hand and karate chopping around and cutting those cords. So if anybody who tried to attach to you, that you maybe didn't want them to attach to you, that kind of thing. So this is true for manifestors too, but manifestors actually have two layers of cords, whereas all of the other types only have the one because they don't have that barrier that a manifestor does. So when you kind of take a bird's eye view of a manifestor aura, you can see it. You can see the cords that got through the aura and the cords that didn't. So that is part of what makes manifestor specifically and non-sacral more generally burnout so dramatic and immediate is that there's actually a second layer of cords that's like affecting our aura, specifically the outside of our aura. And you will find that manifestors, like when we are experiencing burnout, we start refusing to leave the house because there's that aura thing that's going on, and it's almost like it makes us feel raw. So cord cutting
Exposed.
is actually very, very important. And for manifestors, it's on two levels. Whereas for most people, it's on one.
How many different archetypes, I suppose I'll say, are there in the human design?
There are five, generally speaking. So there's manifestors, projectors, generators, manifesting generators, and reflectors.
I think I'm a manifestor generator, if I remember correctly. I mean, it's been a long time since I've done anything with human design.
If I were to place you like just based off your vibe, I would have put you in the Mangen category 100%. So
I
I you've just got this like really strong
that
vivacious energy to you that like it's very clear to me that you've lived with it because you have a handle on it. And so yeah, I would if I were to guess, I'd guess Mangen for you.
I'm gonna totally go look up this human design because honestly, it was like years ago that I did it. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm a, and it seemed really complicated and inaccessible at that point in time. So I was just like, listen, this road is already confusing me, so let's just park this. But I like that you're how you're talking about the importance, at least in your experience and on your journey, and how valuable it's been to understand like the difference between your own energy and how those things show up versus other people. And it's often what could sometimes be overwhelming for people, right? As I just said, human design was super confused, decided to park it and never went back to it. But now I wrote it down, so I'm going to totally go and look at it again. We've talked so much about hygiene for your physical body, like for yourself. What about your home? What kinds of things
Oh,
can you do for your home,
yes.
right?
Absolutely. So many, many, many moons ago at this point, we did a major home hygiene thing. And the big thing that we did was, of course, we cleansed our entire house. We smoke cleansed our house, which, if you're not super familiar, you can use basically any kind of smoke that you want. My favorite, and I actually fairly recently discovered this, and it is the most effective thing I've ever done, is those little charcoal disc thingies with a little bit of resin on them. Best smoke cleansing ever, man.
Really?
So much better. So much better than sage. So much better than all of the incense I've ever tried. Love it. Huge fan. But you can use whatever you want for the most part. Don't use white sage. That's close practice. But for the most part, you can use just about anything you like. But you can smoke cleanse your house. And that makes a giant difference. We actually went outside and smoke cleansed our entire property as well, and then did a crystal grid formation around our house to do a to do an entire protective layer around our house so we could step outside in protection, step inside in protection. So highly recommend that. Loved it. Literally just took a little a mattock and put those crystals in the ground. And if you put them in the ground, they don't need cleansed anymore. They don't need charged anymore. They just like get charged constantly by the earth itself, and they stay connected to each other through the earth. It's beautiful. And
And with your crystal grid, I always envision when people talk about their crystal grid, like, is it the size of a piece of paper, or do you like actually do the grid through the entire property, like lay it all out?
Oh, we did it through the for the perimeter of the property. We did the
Okay.
whole thing. So there are some places where you can buy crystals by the pound. And so we did the whole property. Now that's by far the biggest grid I've ever done. Most of the time when I make a grid, it's significantly smaller than that. But yeah, we did do the perimeter.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about protections for the home or clearing for the home. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific. Right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am joined by Scarlett Seba, and we are talking about practical tips for energy hygiene. We have covered actually a lot of territory today. We've talked about Reiki, we've talked about energy hygiene, and the two parts of that being protection as well as the actual cleansing piece of it. We've talked about different ways that your energy can leak and how to seal that. We just were talking about energy hygiene in the home. But before we dive into that, if you are enjoying today's episode and want more content like this, please go find me on your listening platform of choice and give me a 5-star review. And of course, if you have any questions, shoot me an email. So back to energy hygiene in the home. So you've talked about smudging. And you now the discs, you said they have red, and why do you like that so much? Is it because it creates a lot of smoke, or what is it?
Yeah, there's the consistency of the smoke. You know, a lot of times when you're using incense or something, you have to, it's not a particularly consistent modality for smoke cleansing, but that resin, it's so consistent and it's powerful. Yeah, huge fan.
And so if somebody smudges their home, generally speaking, like, I mean, I know for myself, I love doing it, and it's like it's almost like the air feels, the I don't know. I want to say the air feels lighter. That's the only way that I can describe it. But what are some other things that they might notice?
What they might notice, I tend to think that my house feels brighter whenever I finish cleansing it. Like it does, it feels brighter, it feels airier. And I mean, depending on what I did to make it need cleansing in the first place, it can feel all kinds of different ways after I'm done cleansing it. But it kind of just resets it back to, you know, the way that it's supposed to be.
Right. So. And so if we're, let's say, doing personal energetic hygiene on a daily basis, how often should somebody consider, you know, doing the same hygiene practices on their home? And actually, maybe not the same, but the smudging.
That's going to vary a little bit depending on what's going on in your life. You know, if you're going through a fairly significant emotional upheaval of some kind, you're going to want to cleanse it more often.
Yeah.
You know, I went through one over Thanksgiving and it, like, I cleansed my house every day for 3 weeks because it was just, I just needed it. Like, I was constantly outputting emotions that needed to be moved through and out and not hanging out in my house. So I did it every day.
Right.
That's an unusual situation.
Yeah.
For the most part, you can usually get away with like once a quarter, maybe once a month. It depends on how many people live in your house. It depends on the volatility of you and the people living in your house. It, you know, there's a lot of factors to that. If you want like a general guideline, you could always go with the moon. The moon's always a great one to go with. The new moons are kind of made for that kind of thing. So you could do it every new moon if you wanted.
Okay. So for anybody who might be listening today and is new to this work, where would you suggest that they would start in a way that is accessible and not overwhelming?
Like for resources or practices?
I mean, like as in today they heard something and they are like, yeah, I do feel like that. Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that. So what are some things that they could do right now in this moment that might help them begin to create some changes in their life?
Ground.
Energetically. Okay.
Absolutely. And figure out what your favorite grounding practice is. Do it. Do it often. Practice it as often as you possibly can. Get good at it. Get to where it takes 2 seconds, because it's about how long it should take. And do that. There's few things in life more powerful, unless you want to drink a gallon of water a day also. That also helps.
Very true. And for those people who might be at work or in a difficult moment, what do you suggest that can like clear the energy like right now? So something, so we're talking about where you can begin. The stage I'm setting here is I'm in a difficult moment. How do I shift the energy or clear the energy immediately?
In almost every difficult moment that has ever been a difficult moment, you forgot to breathe. So the big thing that you can do is bring awareness to your chest, to your abdomen, and take a nice, big, deep breath through your nose, and then really envision all of your bad feelings coming out through your mouth. Maybe don't point that at anybody, just as a general rule. But that is a great way to just very quickly, very stealthily, actually, change your energy and cleanse your energy just very, very subtly.
Yeah. How do you personally recalibrate your own energy without when you're drifting out of alignment?
I do that in a lot of different ways, actually. Of course, self-Reiki.
If I
remember that a Reiki exists, then I will do that. it's one of those, there's not like a lot of visual cues for Reiki, so I sometimes forget about it. But there, of course, there is self-Reiki. I'm actually a huge fan of tuning forks. I really love the sound therapy avenue. So I have a lot of favorite, you know, of what is that, like 528 little mixture thingies for the solfeggio frequencies. And I have solfeggio tuning forks and I have chakra tuning forks. So I, at a minimum of once a week, will go ahead and just retune myself to make sure that I'm nice and centered and aligned. So that's definitely one of my practices. I also pretty regularly cleanse myself with the violet flame.
Right.
So that's a big one for me, is violet flame.
Well, thank you so much today, Scarlett, for joining and sharing your knowledge and your experience. It was a pleasure having you join us here today. And for listeners, until next time, take care of yourself.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.